Today we are blessed to have a special speaker with us today. I welcome Chester.
Thank you, Daryl, and special thanks to Thad and Rebecca. And you ladies, God bless you. Thank you for each one of you for making time and making the effort and what's needed to come out and join us today in our church service. We pray a blessing on each one of you. You all could have been fishing or golfing or lounging around home, but you chose to come here. God bless you. You know, there's something about faithfulness. I have a story that I love to share from the Old Testament. It's found in Jeremiah 35. And we're not going to take time because it's quite a long story, so just let me give you the short version of it, okay? And it's about the Rechabites. The father and the patriarch of this family had made a proclamation, and for reasons of his own, he said two things. You're not to drink wine, and you're not to build houses. Well, everybody drank wine at that time. And what's wrong with building houses? Right, Steve? Nothing wrong with that. He's a builder. Whatever his reason was, he commanded his descendants or his people, don't do that. And to us, it may not seem very important what he asked them to do, but the point was that they were faithful. They didn't do it. They got along without houses. They didn't drink wine. So God blessed them, and he used them as an example to the rest of unfaithful Israel. He said, look at the Rechabites. Their father commanded them to do these things or not do these things, and they didn't do them. And so I'm going to bless them with a special blessing that forever they would have a man to stand before God. Yeah, it's a wonderful story. But we're sheep without a shepherd today. You may have noticed that our pastor is away. And pastor and his wife, Gina, have embarked on a journey back to Babylon. So we pray a blessing on them and a safe return. We love our pastor and his whole family, and we say God bless him. Pastor, when he's here, he sits right over here, and his lovely, beautiful wife sits over here. There's some things I just don't understand in this one. But we pray a blessing on them, of course. How many of you had a perfect week? No trouble, no stress, no trouble, no pain, no problems, nothing. Oh, Doug did. Well, thank you, Lord. I guess he's the only one. I didn't put my hand up either. You know, you've come to the right place because we believe in prayer. Yeah. And we've seen answered prayer in this place. I'm looking at an old fella in the back there that was healed miraculously some time ago. And as I look around different faces in here, I know something of the story of what's happened to you and God's goodness to you. I wonder if I could share one experience that I had with a miraculous healing. My wife and I had just been married 4 or 5 years, and we had 2 small children at home, and things were pretty tough. This is some time ago, and times are different now than they were then. But I managed to get a job with a big mining company in a mine that mines mercury. Now, mercury in its cold form, in its liquid form, is quite safe. You can hold it in your hand, and there's no great harm done to you. But when it's in the vapor form, when it gets up over 100 degrees Fahrenheit, it starts to vaporize. And that vapor is very poisonous. It's terrible. And I was working in this mine, and I took every overtime hour they would give me. Anytime they wanted me, I was there. We're trying to get ahead a little bit. And it came a time when the roaster in the mining process broke down. And just let me explain for a minute. The mercury comes from a rock that's in the ground. It's a red rock. It's called cinnabar. And you grind it up into a powder, and then it's mixed with some water. And then it goes through a roaster that heats it up. And the mercury is vaporized, and then it's condensed in some tubes. And that's how mercury is made. Now, in that vapor form, it's very dangerous. And they asked me if I wanted to be one of the ones that went into that roaster and put the rabble arms. There's rabble arms that keeps stirring the slurry. And you're not supposed to be in there any more than 8 hours. They give us protective clothing and, you know, masks and everything, but it wasn't good enough. And then when the 8 hours was up, we weren't done, so they asked, who would like to stay a little longer? Well, I'm the first guy to put my hand up. And a short time, how long would have it been? A couple weeks maybe, I started getting really sick. And I ended up in Prince George Hospital, and they did a biopsy on my right kidney. And about 2 days later, the specialist came in and sat on my bed, and he said, Chester, I wish I had better news for you, but this is the straight goods. Your kidneys are shot. You never work again. And you're going to die young. And that wasn't good enough for us. Our family and our little church, a little Pentecostal church up in Fort St. James, started praying. 3 weeks later, I'd gotten a different job. I was working for a big lumber company. I was doing the hardest job in the mill. And I've worked every day since. I've worked every day since, and it's way too late for me to die young. I know there's questions about the healing. I've seen people healed, and I've seen people suffer for a long time. But I still believe God. I think of the verse in Genesis 18:35. I didn't give it to you, Evan, but it says this, that will not the judge of the whole world do right? Can we not hold that? You know, speaking of getting old, people have been telling me lately that I'm getting old. Maybe I am. I don't know. Pastor asked me if I'd speak, and I used to speak a fair amount years ago. But I said to him, well, I don't think I could give a whole sermon without reading from notes. He said, well, write notes down, man. Okay. Ruined my whole summer. But we got through it. We got something. My old friend Bill Mustard phoned me up when I had my 79th birthday. And he says, you're not out of the woods yet, boy. I said, I don't know what you mean by that, but I'm probably not. He says, no, not until you're 80. When you're 80, nobody expects anything of you anymore. You can do anything you want. You can go around with your shirt tail hanging out, and you don't have to comb your hair, and you don't have to shave. You can say anything you want, and nobody pays any attention to you, right? Well, I was just starting to enjoy that when I got a letter from the government. He didn't tell me about that. It was a notice in the mail that I would have to take a test in order to get my driver's license renewed. Well, no problem, right? I went in and he sat me down like a little kindergarten kid, put my little pencil in my hand and started asking me questions. Join ABC with 1, 2, 3 and draw a square, you know. Anyway, and he said, I've got 6 words. Now remember these 6 words. It was faith, velvet, church, challenge, trust, build. Got it, Matthew? And so, yeah, okay, that's easy enough. Then he showed me a picture and had 3 animals in it. It had a lion, a rhinoceros, and a camel. Easy, right? That's what my eyes saw. Do you know what my mouth said? I said, lion, hippopotamus, camel. Anyway, there was some more questions. Then he come back to me and said, now repeat back those 6 words I gave you a few minutes ago. Who can do that? You all heard them. I said them twice. Matthew, what were they? You can hand in your driver's license, all of you now. Anyway, we got through it, all right? It was a humiliating experience, right, Joe? Yeah. Anyway, we got through it. And, you know, I do understand that some older people probably shouldn't be driving on the roads, right? We've all seen plenty of examples of that, especially around Creston, huh? Oh, my Lord. Anyway, I guess that's enough preamble for now. We better start talking about what the Lord has put on my heart. don't worry, you're still going to get out early, to, early enough to get a head start on the Baptist to get to the good, the good restaurants. So what's in a name? What's in a name? I've always been interested in words, and especially name words. They mean something. Every name means something. And the name that each one of us have been given affects us all our life, right? For good or bad. In the area where I grew up, and in the time when I was growing up, all of our parents used to say, be careful not to bring any shame on our name. We have a good name in the neighborhood, and we want you not to bring any shame on our name. Ecclesiastes says a good name is better than precious ointment. Wow. Do you think God is concerned about his name? Yeah. Yeah, he is. He's concerned about his name, the way his name is treated. I'd like to mention a story in scripture again. We're not going to read the whole thing, but Joshua chapter 9. The setting is that the children of Israel had just came into the land of Canaan, and they had captured the towns of Jericho and Ai. And the Canaanites and Hittites and the Amorites that lived there were getting scared. They were getting real scared because they saw miraculous things happening. And so they devised a plan. We're going to put on some old clothes and take some old bread and wineskins and make it look like we've come from a long ways away. And we're going to try and make a league with them. We're going to try and get a promise, a covenant from them that they won't harm us. So they came, and the children of Israel looked at their evidence that they had come a long ways, and it looked to be real. But they saw the fear that was in them. In verse 9, I believe it is, says that they heard about the name of the Lord. Now these guys, a lot of them were giants. A lot of them were giants. And they were powerful fighters. But they were afraid. They were afraid. And then I think it's down in verse 14, it says that Israel failed to take counsel at the word of the Lord. So they went ahead and made a pact with them that they wouldn't attack them, not realizing that it was the very people that they were moving in amongst now, because they couldn't break this league that they had made with the people. They allowed them to be carriers of water and hewers of wood. But that isn't what God had intended for them to do. Now, I have a question for you. How is it that the devil and the demons of hell fear God? And so much of the church has lost their fear of God. You know, Roy is not here today, but I was going to ask him. Do you remember a character in the movies years ago called Chief Dan George? Yeah. And he said a line in one of his movies that I often wondered at. I'm a hunter and an outdoorsman. And Chief Dan George spoke of a time before the Europeans came. And it said, there was a time when the spirit of the grizzly bear filled the land. And because I'm interested in lines like that, and I've done a bit of writing myself, and I wondered what he meant. You know when I found out what he meant? When I had the first bad encounter with a grizzly. I knew what that meant, exactly. What the spirit is so powerful. The fear, I was hoping Roy'd be here, he might be able to share some, because he just met one last year, wasn't it, or a year before? Yeah, and he understands that you can't think about anything else. They have a terrible presence around them when they come for you. But my question is, how can you not fear God? And I'll tell you the answer. Because you've never been near him. When you're near God, there's a reverential fear that comes on you that you cannot deal with. And I pray that the fear of God will come back. The Old Testament talks in many places about why God does things. And much of the time, he does things for his name's sake. He is concerned about how the world sees him. And how the world sees him is through the actions of God's people. The ones who claim his name. There's a verse in Isaiah 42:8. We've got that one, Evan. Maybe we'll put it up. It says, I am the Lord, that is my name. And if you look it up in the concordance where I am the Lord, it's the eternal, the ever-existing one. There's only one person that can say that. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. That makes it pretty clear. Let's look at Ezekiel 20, verse 14. But I wrought, that is, I worked and then did things. I wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted before the heathen, in whose sight I brought them out. He did those things, even though Israel was many times disobedient. There's several other ones. Let's look at Ezekiel 36, 22 and 23. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my mine holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen, whither you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. Thank you, Lord. Let's look at Isaiah. We've got quite a few scriptures, so we better. Isaiah 43, verse 1. Okay, now it says here, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Okay, when he calls us, when we came to the Lord, this is by extension, this involves all of us because we are grafted in, right? So when he calls us, he calls us by our name. When he first talked to us, we had no doubt who he was talking to, did we? We knew he was talking to us. He has a way of knowing our language and knowing our hearts and how to speak to us. So he calls by our name. And then over in verse 7, I believe it is, a little further down at any rate, yeah, verse 7. It says there, do you have verse 7? No? Okay. Just a second, we'll find it. It says, everyone that is called by my name. So when we come to him, then we're called by his name. Now, this is a more serious matter, right? When we take on the name of God, what sort of responsibility do we have? How important is that? Yeah. There's another verse I'd like to look at, and it's in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That's pretty clear, isn't it? We're going to take his name. We better start living like he wants us to. It's a serious matter. You think God is concerned about his name? Yeah, he is. So in Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, it says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Now, I think we were taught the wrong or only part of the thing early on. We are not to take the Lord's name in vain in profanity, but the big thing is when we take his name as sons and daughters of the Most High, we better be careful how we live. Let's look at Proverbs 30 and 9. You might think that we're out of line saying this, but this says, lest there be fool and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Oh, no, that's talking about stealing. No, no, it's about taking the Lord's name in vain. So then anything that God is not happy with, any sin that you commit as a born-again Christian, you're taking God's name in vain. You think that's a serious problem? It is. I'm going to share another little personal incident. A few years ago, we were living out in Yak. And that's just a little 25 miles to the east of here. And it was a hard time for us. Our children were acting like kids. And it was a hard time. We were trying to run a little business. It's a strange neighborhood. I'm not going to go into it too much, but believe me, it's a strange neighborhood. We lived there for 17 years. I helped every one of my neighbors there from time to time, and I was glad to do it. I was glad to do it. When we left, not a one of them even said goodbye to us. So I don't understand that. Okay, that's a different problem. But anyway, that was the situation that we were in. And I could take you back to the very spot on the ground where I was walking. And I guess I was complaining to the Lord. How come it's always so tough, Lord? Couldn't I have a few breaks here and there? Not thinking about all the blessings he'd given me already and healed me one time years ago. I'd kind of forgotten about those in the meantime. Anyway, the Lord said to me, and I remember the exact words, he said, whether I bless or withhold my blessing, my holy name is to be praised. Wow. I thought we'd just bless them when it's going good. No. His holy name requires our praise every day.